Hello, this is Lowell Nye, and I just wanted you to understand that this is a teaching that is going to be done by me regarding the verses of Ephesians, and it's very important to me that each and every person understand what I'm about to talk about, because Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to the end of the chapter are what I'm going to talk about. And it's, but first, it's, the way this thing is headed is that it is listed in chapter 1, verses 15 to the end of the chapter as the thanksgiving and prayer. And he starts out for this reason, but when he says for this reason, I have to back this up to the place where he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Now, it's very, very important to me that people understand what that is all about. The Holy Spirit is the guarantor of our salvation. Well, that means to me that once the Holy Spirit has taken over in my spirit man, that it's his promise, the incorruptible seed, if you will, of the Word of God, alive and active and powerful in each believer's life. Now, it is absolutely imperative that people understand that because the Word of God is an imperishable thing, that it can be trusted to be backed up by the Holy Spirit in such a manner that the Word cannot be corrupted. So because the Word cannot be corrupted, and we seem to be corrupted because of our fleshly ways, but then again, because he is the guarantor of our salvation, which is what the Bible just says, that we understand that we don't have to rely on ourself or self-will to get to heaven. We are relying entirely upon the seal. It's kind of like a signet ring that is stamped on a letter that kings used to do. They would get out their signet ring and they would stamp the glue on a letter, showing that it was his guarantee that that whatever message it was backed up by that guarantee, by that signet ring. Well, the Holy Spirit is the same way. He is our guarantee in order that we would be saved, because we have to have something because of our fleshly selves get in the way of what God might want to hear throughout our lives. But it is very, very important that we understand that we have much thankfulness to give in every way, that are saying that, oh, thank God that we can rely upon him and this word to keep us for the Lord as his acquired possession. And so that's to his praise and glory. Now I can go into for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. It says here, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. It is a beautiful thing here that Paul is taking off, because he is believing off it in here in this one of the longest run-on sentences that's in the Bible. But there are so many important points that are to be discussed here in this particular passage. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Well, that should be our attitude as well. Let us not cease to be giving thanks to Jesus that Paul gave us this. Remembering you in my prayers, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, one may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow. We need that spirit of wisdom. We need that revelation and the knowledge of him, because that's what our salvation is based on. Having the eyes of our hearts enlightened. Now, you have to realize that our hearts have to be enlightened because they are despicably evil and desperately sick. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. It's very, very important that we understand that the heart is being renewed day by day, and that the fullness of the Holy Spirit enlightening, as it were, in our beings by the power of this incorruptible seed is an ongoing thing. It's very, very important that we know that the eyes of our hearts are enlightened by the power of the Word of God, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Wow. So that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The riches of his glorious inheritance in us, the saints. Yes, you're a saint. And what is the immeasurable greatness? First of all, he talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance. Then he talks about the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, who according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then he says here, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Now, you need to understand that these verses distill the New Testament's teaching of the resurrection and the enthronement of Jesus. And that's a good reference to that, Colossians 1:18. Now, I'm going to throw these verses, but I'm not going to go to read each one of them. You can do that on your own. They also may make two vital contributions to understanding Jesus' resurrection and the status of believers. First, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in believers. Now that's a beautiful statement. Wow, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Second, Christ enjoys his position as head over everything for the sake of the church. Not only is Christ at the most exalted position in the universe, he is there representing believers. He's there representing, rooting for us. And that's in chapter 2, verse 6, Colossians 3:3 as well. And governing the universe for their sake. The principles of conduct. Now, in Ephesians, emphasize that authority exists for the sake of service. Jesus' majestic use of power and authority in the interest of his people is the Christian's model. Now, let me give you the verses that go to that. Okay, so this is chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 2, verses 7 through 13, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, chapter 2, verses 22 through 33. Paul reminds his Gentile leaders of two specific ways Christ's power has blessed them. He brought them from the death to life and from the alienation from God's people to inclusion with them. And what backs that up is chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So I will go back here, that the dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Now he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So it is imperative and important that we understand that this is right where we are. This is to be the thanksgiving and the prayer for all of us who are believers. And the fullness of it is in the Word of God and the continuance of our study in the Word of God. Now, you need to understand that Ephesians was written in line and in almost in congruence with the book of Colossians. They were written at the same time. Ephesians was written in 60 AD, just to give you a little history. But it's important to know that while Paul was doing this, that he understood that he had not just the Ephesians to work with, but he had the Colossians to work with too. So we need to continue to go on and to believe that the salvation factor is always there, and we need to understand that the church has to have the attitude that your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, that we do not cease to give thanks for you. Thank you, Jesus. Remembering you in my prayers. We need to remember each and every one of us in prayers in Jesus' name. So I just wanted to give this short teaching and let the people know and understand that these particular verses are very, very clear, and who it is and what Jesus is, and he being raised from the dead, seated at the right hand, and all the scriptures here about authority, power, and dominion, and above every name. God has given us authority and power and dominion. Luke 10:19, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, is the one in which, behold, I have given you. The apostles were coming back. They were casting out demons, and they are so excited. They walked up to Jesus, and they're telling him, man, and Jesus said, hey, look, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And so they were all excited about what the power that he bestowed upon them. Behold, I have given you the authority. Well, we have the same authority in his name now, at this time. The kingdom of God is now in purpose and plan and in pursuit. God is a now kind of guy. He's now, he's today, and he's full of wealth and richness and everything that every believer might ever need in the power and the authority over the devil. Yes, he said, I've given you authority over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But in the 20th verse, he said, but don't be happy about this, but that your names are written down in heaven. Well, the more that we explain this to people is that there is this immense difference between the world and us, that we have these guidelines. But they're not just guidelines. They are the rule and authority and the governance over my spirit man. I have to tell my spirit man, behave. The spirit man in me tells my soul to behave. My spirit man is made sinless until the day of Christ's return, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, because my spirit man can no longer sin because it's born of God. But my soul wars against me all day long. So I want you folks to understand, to know that I'm always walking in a place of joy and happiness because I see this difference between the things of the kingdom of God, and I see what the world is involved in, and I shake my head, oh my gosh, I'm not more righteous than they, but I will say this, that I finally know better because of this word. I have come into a place with God to where I am, folks, without excuse, because the word of God is so rich and clear, and it's there for the reading. It's there for my spirit, man, to be taken up within me. And to a point where I can understand what this word is all about. And the Holy Spirit helps me day in and day out. And the anointing comes with it. So when I talk to people with the warmth and the love of God, I hope that they see his love coming through my eyes to them. And they say, what's this guy got? Well, he's got a spirit, man, that has been made perfect by the Holy Spirit. It's been made incorruptible by this word. And I can count on this word all through my life to not ever be in error, as I might be. So I'm careful to give him all the praise and all the thanksgiving and what it is that I need to do. So thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to let you all go now because this is the word of God, alive and active and powerful in my life. Amen.